You're listening to Beyond the Ribbon, a podcast of the Cancer Survivorship Center, powered by 24 Hours in the Canyon. This podcast is brought to you by Auto Inc. Auto Inc. is a distinguished family of dealerships redefining automotive excellence. Be sure to check out their website at autoinc.com. Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Beyond the Ribbon. My name is Ryan Parnell, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host and oncology nurse, Pam McMillan.
Hey, Ryan. How are you today?
Pam, I'm great.
You're great.
Yes.
You just got back from vacation.
I did.
You're feeling relaxed, rejuvenated.
A little bit, yeah.
You know, sometimes whenever our patients come in here, they're a little stressed.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things that we always recommend is yoga. Mm-hmm. I feel like yoga, a lot of people can do it, but some people say, I can't do it. I can't get on the floor.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting, right? Some of the classes that we tend to gravitate to offering or mentioning to folks and suggesting to them. Yeah. Yoga is one of them. But as we say, all of our classes can be modified.
Right.
And we've actually modified our yoga class, right?
Right. You know, to chair yoga.
Chair yoga.
And if you can't do the moves on the floor, we have chairs. So that's nice. But, you know, yoga has so many benefits for cancer patients. There's a lot of research out there, a lot of documents saying that patients can benefit from yoga.
You mean we didn't just make that up?
We didn't. We try not to.
For sure.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm excited about today's guest. She is an expert in this field. And so hopefully we'll learn from her.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump right in. Pam Galloway is joining us. Pam, thank you for joining us today and for being one of our many skilled instructors.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. And so, you know, we started with Pam teaching our like gentle integrative yoga. Mm-hmm. And have then decided, you know what, let's just offer a full-time chair yoga class.
Yes.
So let's start with what is, you know, what can someone expect in a gentle integrative yoga class?
Well, in a gentle integrative class, we talk about integration because we are mind, body, spirit, and learning how to integrate all those components and learning, you know, breath practices to calm the mind, you know, and just learning how to calm the mind because we're very active in the mind. We call it the monkey mind. It swings and swings and swings. And so having practices to learn to calm that. And we say in yoga, if there's tension in the body, you can't calm the mind. Mm. So first working into calming the mind, you know, with the body and using your body to actually do that, using your fluids, using your bones, using the organs. So integrating those practices of calming that mind. And we use it, you know, and that way we can learn to be, because if we're a mind, body, spirit, we have that spirit side to us also. So, but if we're always in the mind that's swinging, 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 there's tension in the body, guess what? That part of us can become very accessible and learning to integrate all those parts of ourselves.
Gosh, I would have
in a yogic practice.
I would imagine our survivors that you work with have so much on their mind, so much.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I don't know how they shut it down at night.
That's exactly what I'm just trying to think of. Like, you know, the monkey mind, it's like a King Kong gorilla, like monkey mind,
exactly,
I would imagine.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And boy, he's naughty. He can take us to a lot of places that
we don't need to go.
And, you know, especially after, you know, a life-altering event, a traumatic experience, you know, the body goes into dysregulation. The nervous system begins to take over. You'll either go into fight or flight or freeze, and that's a nervous system regulation. So, you know, a lot of times the body's just trying to protect you from these very stressful hormones that are coming in because what am I going to do? I have a diagnosis. I've kind of lost control of my life. But having some practices, you know, that can bring regulation back to that, that way you can be back in the driver's seat. That's what yoga can do for you, you know, because the nervous system isn't just taking over, thinking alert, alert, alert. Well, it doesn't need to be an alert all the time. You know, it can sit in the back, but having other tools to bring you back into regulation. And that's one of the primary things of an integrative yoga practice is learning. I have tools I can use. I have my breath. I can move my body. I can silence my mind. You know, there's a lot of things that we can do, and it takes some time to, you know, get to those places, but that's what an integrative practice can do.
Oftentimes we hear, take a deep breath.
Yes.
It can be very beneficial.
Yes, for sure.
So I'm hearing that
in a gentle integrative class, you're teaching and they're learning mm-hmm. things that they can take with them when they're sitting in the chemo chair
yes.
or when they are getting ready yes. for a scan or getting ready for a treatment.
Yes, exactly. I work with clients privately because I'm also a trauma-informed yoga therapist, and I have clients that I see privately. But in my classes also, I'm like, we're building a toolbox. When you leave this room or my sessions, have some tools, you know, because we're going to come into dysregulation. We're human beings. And especially, you know, if you're in the chair or you're having a treatment, what is something that you can do there to bring you back to center, you know? Mm-hmm. And that way the monkey mind doesn't just start taking us from tree to tree to tree. And, you know, there we are hyperventilating and kind of getting out of our body, but having some practices to bring us back in, because our body's incredibly powerful. Incredibly powerful.
So we have a couple types of yoga. Is mm-hmm. there anything really different, specific in each class? I mean, we have chair yoga, we have integrative yoga, and then we have gentle yoga. Mm-hmm. Is there something specific that each class works on differently, or they all work together?
Well, they kind of all work together. I mean, it's just kind of an approach, but I like to tell my clients, like, if they're like really like having a fresh diagnosis or really into dysregulation, you know, the nervous system is, you know, it swings. You can be up like this. So maybe not having a practice that's really stimulating, because it can really kind of bring you up again. You can't mm-hmm. follow. You get disappointed in yourself. You can't. So, you know, those are some things that I might suggest, because I think all yoga is really good, but maybe you don't need something that aggressive at the moment. You need something that's a little more gentle. You can kind of feel like, okay, I can do this. And those are some differences. I mean, I think all yoga classes are pretty good, but just kind of watching the ones that are really too overstimulating can be, mm-hmm. you know, can really...
A little too much,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. So would you suggest them to start at maybe chair yoga?
That's a great entry point. You know, it's really a preference. Do I want to get on the floor? You know, a lot of the chair yoga, my chair yoga students don't want to be on the floor.
Sure.
You know, mm-hmm. they could be on some equipment, you know, but it's still a great practice to be there. And I love chair yoga. I love it. And I can get on the floor and I can do all kinds of things on the floor, but you can get just as much of a benefit from a chair yoga yeah. class.
And it seems like, again, adaptable.
It's adaptable.
Mm-hmm. I mean, some of our folks, right, have some joint issues mm-hmm. And not able to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's what's important to remember is try. Just yeah. as you said, that's a good entry point.
Yeah.
It's a great entry point. And if you get there and you go, okay, this was good, but I think I can, yes. I can do more.
Yes.
Then we have two other options, as you said, Pam.
Yeah.
So what should someone expect whenever they first come? What should they wear? What should they do? I mean, do they need any equipment or do they just show up?
They can show up. We have chairs here. We have mats in the closet. I mean, there's really not anything. I mean, just comfortable clothing.
Yeah.
And I share, you know, I work also at Heal the City, and I have men who come in boots and they're dusty clothes. And so there's not any, of course, you know, my classes are pretty gentle. We're not going to be doing a lot of big twisting and stuff to where you need really stretchy clothes, but just be comfortable. T-shirt, shorts, you know. I try not to dress real yoga-y for myself just because I don't want to have that persona.
Sure.
You know.
Right. Sure.
That's not what it's about.
Right.
It's about learning body awareness, because once we learn body awareness, guess what? We learn a little more self-awareness, and we can bring ourselves back to center because we use all of our tools.
And no matter which class, if someone who's never done yoga, they can do this.
Yeah. Yes. It's accessible. It's easy. You know, like today, my class I did, we work on into the joints. We're moving the joints. And just how incredibly calming that is, just to move your toes, move your ankles, move your feet, move up into the knees. We move up in all to the regions of the body. Because I'm always sharing with my clients and my students, we got to feel our body. From the toes to the crown of our head, and just learning to feel that body, your body, and that awareness. And it's really accessible. You know, we don't have to do real heavy workouts just to learn to feel our body. They can be subtle. It can be quiet. And we can feel it with intention.
And they don't have to like have gone through some training to come to be a part of yoga. I just think of all the things that questions that folks ask us. Like,
exactly.
I don't know. Yoga seems really weird. And
I don't
seems,
have a yoga mat, or I don't know if I have the right workout clothes.
So. And it's for girls.
No, oh no. I have some men who just really swear by the practice.
Yeah.
You know, it's really been a life altering for them. And actually, it was created in India for men, by men, for men, by men. And here it's kind of a little more westernized. It has a certain look. It has a certain degree of fitness. I say yoga is for everybody, like every body type, I really like to be an advocate for, that's not what yoga is. Yoga is so much more than.
Yeah.
In an Instagram post. Yeah.
It's become very stereotyped.
Oh yes, it has been. And that's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate because the benefits to having and maintaining a regular practice, that's not what it's about. It's about coming back home, coming into your body, feeling your body, feeling what's showing up, feeling I can regulate myself. You know, it's very empowering. Like I have those tools. I can do this, you know?
Yeah.
So you talk about benefits, you know, I know we talked about you moving the joints, the mind. Mm-hmm. What other benefits can they see from coming to a yoga class?
Oh gosh, you know, their flexibility improves. Mm-hmm. Flexibility. And we also say that really yoga is a practice of finding stability. It's not flexibility first. People think it's flexibility, but no, it's stability. So stability in your body. You know, what does that look like? You know, because when you're maybe in treatment or have cancer, you kind of...
Deconditioned.
Yeah, you're kind of out of sorts and you don't have that stability. So finding your feet, finding that flexibility in the spine, finding your, you know, just having that flexibility in your body. And then, of course, the flexibility in the mind, you know, because if the mind is racing, it all works together. And so that's a benefit, you know, moving the blood, moving the organs. And also I talk about in yoga practices, you know, for cancer patients, if there's been lymph removal, if they've had lymph removal in a surgeries, you know, scar tissue and stuff, we're moving that. We're moving lymph because lymph needs to be pumped. Mm-hmm. And so we're moving lymph and we move a lot of side body. Mm-hmm. We even, a lot of my classes, we'll do a lymphatic massage, just moving that lymph, moving that stuff. So, gosh, it moves into the ventricles of the brain. There is so much that a yoga practice
You had mentioned on. One mm-hmm. time about patients that had surgery, mm-hmm. you know, how the patient, if they had a mastectomy, they mm-hmm. tend to go forward mm-hmm. and how yoga can open them up.
Yes, yes.
Many benefits.
Oh, yeah, so many benefits because, you know, I talk about life is forward. So if you had a surgery, you know, this is cut,
yes.
under the pecs, then you're working at a desk and you're cooking and you're driving, you know, here comes slumped the body. Over.
Mm-hmm.
Where you begin that, it's called that kyphosis, and you comes in and guess what happens? We cage the heart. So the heart is a little cage. The respiratory system's cage. The ribs can expand. So having those practices of opening up into the pecs, opening that up, loosening up into the intercostal muscles around the ribs, can help really correct the body. I'm sorry, I'm getting away from that.
As and, Ryan mm-hmm. starts setting I know, up. Starts,
adjusting yeah. my shoulders.
Yeah, and, but it's a real thing, you know. It's
sure
a real
it thing. Is.
And then, you know, here comes depression. Here comes, you know, more monkey mind because it all is together. But having these practices of bringing it up, you know, I am learning that body awareness. Oh, my shoulders are coming down. Oh, my heart mm-hmm. is a little bit caged. And that's... That's a lot of it is learning that awareness of how am I holding my body.
I think one of the other benefits I know, Pam, that we have seen and heard, and I'm sure Pam you have as well, is just being a part of the community.
Yes.
When you're saying it's the yoga practice, you know, I know that there are times where someone will say, "Oh my gosh, I haven't seen so and so. Have you?" Mm-hmm. You know, they take care of each other, and it's a big community, and it's a wonderful group to be a part of. Everybody cares for everybody.
Yes. Yeah. That's vital of having community, coming together, doing a practice together, you mm-hmm. know, checking in on each other. Yeah. So many benefits. It clicks a lot of boxes.
Well, and I know that's the funny thing too. There's been times where, for instance, Pam's not able to make it for whatever reason. And one of the students jumps in and was like, "Oh no, I can do this. We can," you know,
yeah.
So they enjoy that
yes.
and they get together to do that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it's just, it's that community, you know, community is everything, you know, those connections. And then, you know, moving your body together, you know, following along and checking in on each other afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah.
The best.
Mm-hmm. So is there a practice that maybe you could teach Ryan and I here on the podcast for those that are listening that we could do simple in our car or an everyday practice?
Yeah. Like also today in my class, we talk about the spine, the flexibility of our spine and moving that, because it's very, our spine, our emotions are, you know, the brain communicates through the body through the spinal cord. So having some practices to move your spine is very regulating. It feels good. It can really just, I'm always talking about get back in your body. You know, you're in the trees with the monkey. Learn you having some practices to get back in your body. And, you know, what better way than to move your spine? And so even just coming into some cat-cow so you can inhale and you can bring your heart and chest forward. And then you can exhale, tucking the shoulder around the shoulders, tuck the chin. Do you feel your spine moving? Moving back and forth. And I share this a lot of times with my clients. You know, if you don't want to do a big cat-cow, you can do a real subtle one at the doctor's office. You can come side to side. Sit on your kitchen chair, move the spine from side to side. It feels amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, just a simple. And I'm always, and we say five breaths, five small movements, even just this, you can really create a shift. And
why is that so hard to practice?
I don't know. I was just thinking along the same lines, like, I guess we're just so innate, busy people, mm-hmm. you know, and I guess that may be part of what it is just not taking time for ourselves.
Right.
Yeah. Our self-care. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why five? I'm just curious.
Why five breaths?
Mm-hmm. Is there... It's enough, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure.
It's enough to like, okay, I got to come back, yeah. You know? And a lot of times, like I said, if we're in the weeds with our head, mm-hmm. just bring the five breaths of coming back, because we teach that, you know, the breath is in the present moment. The mind has to have a place of focus. So, you know, the life is breath. Breath is the life. Breath is life. Life is in the present moment. So just coming back, like, okay, I'm here right now.
Yeah.
I'm right here. Not.
You know, I can remember several times breathing has come up in our podcast. I think Kristen talked about it in our anger podcast that we did, mm-hmm. and kind of recentering and mm-hmm. just deep breaths,
meditation
mm-hmm. as well.
Bath. I mean, like everything surrounds the breath.
The breath.
Yeah. Because the breath is life.
And you can feel it.
Yeah.
And you can hear it. Mm-hmm. And so it does. It grounds you.
Yes, it grounds us. It gets you back into your body. And it gets you back into giving the mind a place of focus versus wherever it goes.
The trees.
The trees, yeah.
What about our survivors that are listening that maybe have a scan that comes up? Yeah. Is coming up and they're feeling that anxiety and the stress of just knowing they're having a scan and then going to the scan. Is there some practices that they can put into place at their scan?
Yeah. You know, they may work on some diaphragmatic breathing before, you know, mm-hmm. because really yoga is a daily practice of having a few things to practice every day. And you can lay on your bed, put a pillow or your hand on your low belly and begin pushing your hand, the lower belly up into the hand or your block. And that's working on the diaphragm, because we do know that in times of trauma, stress, life-altering events, guess what? The breath comes up. It becomes real shallow. We go into that fight or flight. And so we're kind of breathing from the upper lobes of the lung, which is very activating. So if we can learn to use that diaphragm and bring the breath down in the lower parts of the lung, it's very calming. And so, you know, just lying in your bed, laying there for a few minutes, feeling that diaphragmatic breathing. And then you may notice the quality of your breath. Maybe it's sticking a little bit. Maybe it's, I don't know. We begin to notice how our breath is. And just having some practices of just being aware of it and then feeling that breath, that low belly. It's very calming. And then if they're at the scan, you know, just coming to feeling their low belly of moving the breath, feeling their, and obviously bring your hands to your, you can bring your hands to your ribs. You can bring your hands to your low belly, because your hands, your awareness will go where your hands are. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, maybe even my heart, I could protect my heart. Just mm-hmm. bring my breath here. I'm sorry about that. But those are some great practices.
Anybody could do that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's getting again, I love that metaphor of getting out of the trees, yes. you know, and, uh-huh. and get, keeping your head focused.
Yeah.
And how many times, Pam, I mean, do you hear, I know about Scanxiety.
Absolutely. It's real. You know, every 3 months, those patients are going back, or every 6 months, or mm-hmm. the yearly, mm-hmm. you know, they have to go get a mammogram or a CAT scan, PET scan, whatever it may be. And it's just anxiety of the what ifs.
Yeah. So real. we encourage you definitely to put some of this into practice. This simple. You don't have to have special tools. I mean, that you're getting the tool right there. Yeah. The diaphragmatic breathing.
Diaphragmatic breathing, you know, can I move my spine? Can I, you know, maybe come into a, I know at the doctor, you can't come into a child's pose, but I even teach mudras in my class, or hand gestures. Mm-hmm. You know, having your hands in certain positions can be very calming. Mm-hmm. And teach that a lot. Like people who are going into surgery, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so anxious. So let's find something that can calm you down. And it really gets them over that hump.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Focusing your mind somewhere else.
Yes. Focusing your mind somewhere else.
Yeah.
Focusing it on your body. We live in these amazing bodies. They're so powerful. They're so intuitive. And we say that the mind is the body is the master communicator. And we're learning to become the master listener. And so if your body's communicating like, I'm in dysregulation, I need something. Well, what does it need?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I need maybe a breath. I need maybe some food. I need some water. You know, what does it need? And we're learning that what is it communicating?
To listen to our bodies.
Yeah. And that's what yoga is for, is learning to listen to your body. Mm-hmm. Learning to listen to, because this is our home for this lifetime. Living in this home and living in it well. And we have to take care of it. We got to move it. And just like our physical home, we have to get in those closets and dust them and clean them.
do some straightening.
All the fun stuff. It's the same as our physical body. You know, it has to be moved. It has to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Pam, you talked about being a trauma yoga instructor. Uh-huh. What does that mean?
Trauma-informed yoga instructor. A yoga therapist. I'm a trauma-informed yoga therapist. And what it means is that really I know a lot about trauma and what it does to the body, the dysregulation that it comes in. We talked about that a moment ago of how the body goes into fight or flight. So after traumatic experiences, you know, it goes into dysregulation. The body can't, and it'll go automatically. And it's a very scary place to be because the limbic brain takes over. The three-year-old is driving the bus of our life, and it's a terrifying place to be. So learning, because in times of trauma and stress, the prefrontal cortex we bypass it and it goes back into the limbic brain. So using yogic practices to turn this part of the brain back on. That way the adult is driving the bus, not the 3 year old is like, and so it's using those practices to really begin to awaken this again, the prefrontal cortex of our brain. And that's a lot of my training is in. And we use it through breath. We can use it, you know, how are we crossing the midline of our body? It's very regulating because we're using both sides of the brain. There's just a lot of techniques that we have specifically to kind of get this going.
Give the people some more tools to put in their toolbox.
Tools. We have some amazing tools. We just have to know how to use them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And be willing to learn them and willing to use them.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. Can imagine how great it is to have a power drill versus a
screwdriver.
Yeah, exactly. And how beneficial. It's like, whoa, that was easy.
Yeah. Pam, I thank you for joining us and for being a part of what we do at the center. I know the folks that come to your class love it, and we're ever adapting and adding new tools to their toolbox. Yeah. And so I just thank you for that. I think it's important for folks to realize that, as we have discussed, what yoga is and can be and what it's not.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge point to drive back home.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't look at Instagram yoga. Well, I mean, there is some good stuff out there, but there's a lot of stuff that's really not what yoga is. It's not that power. There's elements of it, but
yeah,
there's so much more to it.
This is specifically designed to help the folks that we serve, which is our cancer survivors.
Yes, exactly.
Period. End of story.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to come to our yoga classes here and get a, you know, get a high powered class and, you know, send you in dysregulation, but we're just learning to feel our body again.
Come as you are, anybody can do it.
Anybody can do it. You have a breath, you have your body. It's for everybody. Yeah. And everybody type, everybody shape.
Mm-hmm. So, Pam, what days do you teach here?
I'm now teaching Monday mornings at 9:30, the chair yoga class, and then Wednesday evenings at 5:30. And we're on the mat in that class. Okay. And I know there's some Tuesday, Thursday classes with Olivia. Those are all really, she's a great teacher too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And,
you know, we think every one of our instructors is a great instructor. So, you know, just try a class. If you are thinking about it, come as you are and check us out. Ryan, how would they find the calendar?
Gosh, Pam, there's so many ways to get the calendar. One is on our website, the number 24survivorship.org, 24survivorship.org. There's a button there that says monthly calendar. You can also pick one up when you're here at the center. It usually comes out about 2 to 3 weeks before the first of the month. And so pick one up when you're here. The other way is you can subscribe through our email. If you're not on our email list that comes out, you'd need to be, because anytime we have cancellations of things or additions, maybe even a massage opening or something like that, many times that gets emailed out. So you can just call up here to the center. It's 806-331-2400 and make sure you're on the email list. And then the other way, as if that's not enough, the other way is through our app, whether that's in the Google Play Store or the App Store for Apple. Just search Cancer Survivorship Center, and you'll find our app there. There's a lot of things on there you can do. One is see the monthly calendar, and then also can RSVP for classes that require an RSVP. Now, yoga does not require an RSVP, so you can come. Just show up. But you can see our monthly calendar on there. So lots of ways.
Right. And you know, those that are listening that are maybe intimidated by coming to new classes, bring a friend.
Yes.
Bring your caregiver. You know, it's for them too. We want to make sure that we are helping your caregiver as well.
Yeah. And maybe that's your sister. Maybe that's your brother. Maybe that's your, you know, next door neighbor or your spouse.
Yeah.
It doesn't always have to be your spouse, right? We've talked about that before. But yeah, bring a friend, bring someone, and you will make new friends. I can promise you that. Oh, yeah. Our Absolutely. Folks are so outgoing.
Oh, yeah.
So outgoing.
Pam, is there anything else that you would like to leave us with?
I don't think so. Okay. Thank you for all that you do. What a wonderful gift to the community and the surrounding communities that y'all offer these classes. And really take care of the community. That's amazing.
So that brings us to our last segment. It is our Auto Inc. inspiring moment. Do you have something that sticks out that is inspiring to you with dealing with people with yoga?
Yeah, we talked about a moment ago about having a tool for somebody in the hospital or having treatment or something. And we talked about doing a mudra, and that's a hand gesture. And I had a client who came in. She was getting ready for surgery. It was really scary. She had tumors, you know, and didn't know what they were going to find. And we spent a whole session finding some mudras that brought her into regulation. And we came up with one. And actually, this is what it looks like. So it's your thumb, and your fingers go over the thumb. Babies hold their hands this way. We come out doing mudras, and it's very grounding. It can get you back into your body. And so we did that. And she texted me like 2 days after her surgery, and she said, "Oh my gosh." She said, "They came in and they did my IVs. They did everything. And I held my hand in my mudra, and I was able to stay focused." And so, you know, there she is laying there with her gown and getting ready for surgery. And she had a tool to use to help her get through that. Yeah. And she's still focused. She's like, she still talks about it. This was like 2 years ago. and so things like that, we have so many tools at our disposal, but we just know how to use them and find them. and be willing to use them.
That's a
pretty simple hand movement that you can do to help you refocus and take away some stress.
You know, I think that if you're listening and you either come to yoga class or you're about to come to yoga class, you know, hopefully you will. Pick Pam's brain, you know, ask her questions. Ask her, I heard you talk about these mudras.
Yeah.
What is that? Show me. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. You know, and so I think utilize our tools that we're providing you as a survivor.
Yeah.
You know, we're providing you with fantastic, amazing, talented instructors, all of them, Pam, as you said. We talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
Everybody is so skilled in their area.
Yeah.
And we want you to utilize these folks. Not one is going to say, oh, I don't have time for that.
Right.
You know, that we want you to take advantage of this. So again, Pam, thank you for that, for what you do and for working with our survivors. And again, we highly, highly encourage you, because how much does it cost, Pam?
It costs you a little bit of your time and that's it.
Just some time. It's free. 100% free. You don't have to join a gym, you know, pay the membership. You don't have to do the, initiation fees or any of those kinds of things.
They've already do that because they have their cancer diagnosis.
We know you've paid a lot. We know you've paid a lot and you've been through a lot. So take advantage of these things. In fact, I want to say this too. Many of you may know, may not know, but we'll be moving into a new facility sometime soon in late fall, early winter, November-ish.
Yes, we're very excited.
Super excited. And I'll tell you this, I have a feeling that the yoga room is going to be one of the most beautiful yoga rooms that is available.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Wonderful, huge open windows, looking out over into Meta Park. Beautiful light, natural light coming in. It's going to be amazing. So, but don't wait to come until then.
That's right.
Come and get plugged in now so that you've already learned some tools. You've already got things in line. And then, of course, we'll be moving over in November.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
That sounds
good. Yeah. Well, Pam, I enjoy learning, as I say all the time, and I think you do too. I learn something all the time when we do these. You know, I need to kind of straighten up and open my rib cage out and can do the little baby hand mudra and get out of the trees.
Right. We can all use some tools for our toolbox. So we're very blessed to have all the instructors that we have. And, you know, we're here just to help you, the survivor, and your caregivers. So check us out.
Yep. Absolutely. Take a moment, look through the calendar, get online, get it, you know, on the app, check everything out, find a place to plug in. We talk about it being a buffet. Maybe you want to sample this, sample that, check it out, get involved and get plugged in, and then make sure you join us next time for another great episode of Beyond the Ribbon.
Thanks again for listening to Beyond the Ribbon. We'd like to extend a special thanks to the Auto Inc. family of dealerships, as they have supported the 24 Hours in the Canyon Cancer Survivorship Center since 2016. For more information on the Cancer Survivorship Center, please visit our website at 24survivorship.org.